When I left St. Paul's Lutheran Church in North St. Louis, the kids and the staff that I worked with gave me this cross. It's a cross that hangs in my office. It says, God has woven our lives together, bound them with blessing, tied them with cords of love. Now, I don't think that this is a particularly pretty cross. Little feminine for me. Certainly not something that I would choose myself. The reason I've held on to this cross for the last 4 years is because of all the stuff written on the back. I love you. I'm going to miss you. Love, Pumpkin. That was her God-given name, Pumpkin. Peace be with you. I love you. Love you and miss you, Tanisha. I mean, just all of these memories. And the reason I love it is because all of these messages were written by kids whose hands that I once held as they crossed the street, whose hands that I held in comfort after drive-by shootings. These were kids who I stood next to at the baptismal font as they were joined to Jesus Christ and his promise of eternal life. And so every once in a while, I pull this cross off the wall and I read these little messages and take a little trip down memory lane. When I left St. Paul, one of my professors at the seminary came up to me and he said, you know what, Ferguson, like, man, you really filled their lives with joy and love. And I said, you know, professor, I think it's kind of the opposite. I think they're the ones who filled me with joy and love. They filled me with the undiluted love of Christ without even knowing it. And I know that I am the man I am today because a whole bunch of beautiful little African-American kids took this weird-looking white guy in a clerical collar into their lives. And it changed me. I was filled with that love, and it had an everlasting impact. Today is the day of Pentecost. This is the day where we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, the day where we really celebrate the birthday of the church. See, Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he promises that he will send the Spirit to fill them up, to never leave them wanting. In John 16, you hear a little bit about what this Spirit does, that the Spirit is going to point them to Jesus. It's going to testify who Christ is. It's going to convict them and make them realize how much they need Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the fulfillment of that promise. And every time I think about that promise, I think of that cross, okay? That cross is a remembrance to me of who those kids were and who I am today because of those kids. But what Jesus promises is so much more than just a remembrance. He promises that God himself, the Holy Spirit, will come and dwell within each and every one of them. Now, that's pretty cool, right? But very rarely within our churches do we talk about the Holy Spirit. If you grew up Lutheran or Catholic or Anglican or Orthodox or Methodist or Presbyterian, you probably have talked about the Holy Spirit a little bit, but you haven't gone into much detail. I mean, we talk about the Holy Spirit every service, right? When we make the sign of the cross, some people think it's an empty gesture. It's not. We confess that we believe that God the Father sent Jesus Christ into our world and that when Christ ascended, he promised the Holy Spirit to be with us. Okay, that's what the sign of the cross means. I mean, we confess the Spirit in the Creed, right? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds with the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. Great. Do we go any further than that? On the flip side, if you grew up Pentecostal or Baptist, you probably heard a lot about the Holy Spirit. You've probably heard much more than we talk about within our Lutheran tradition here, which is not a bad thing at all. But if you grew up in one of these churches, you might have heard that being baptized with water and being baptized with the Spirit are two different events in our lives. Some churches go even further to say that when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, you're able to speak in tongues, and it's only when you're able to speak in tongues that you can be sure of your place in heaven. Now, we could talk about this for like an hour. We don't have time for that. I'm asking you to take my word that Scripture does not speak that way. We believe in the baptism of water, where Jesus comes through the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives and streams of living water fill us up. See, in Acts 2, where we celebrate the day of Pentecost, we hear that word, they were filled. We hear that little phrase. We hear that tongues of fire, which is kind of creepy, came down and rested on people's heads. Like, I'm losing my hair already. I don't need more fire to take the rest of it away, okay? But this fire came down and rested on their heads, and they were all able to hear the gospel in languages that they had never heard before. And in verse 4, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's the cool thing, is that the Holy Spirit had such a big impact in their life at that moment that the people standing by watching said, yeah, they're filled, but they're filled with alcohol. They are drunk. That's what they thought. They're looking at these people who have been filled with the Spirit, and they're like, something's different about them. Looks like they're having a good time. Peter says, no, they're not drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. But we talk about it, right? And if we just left it at that, it's kind of meaningless because we don't understand how that Holy Spirit works in our lives. So I'm an extremely visual person. This is the way that I have best come to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, right? We start with the fact that each and every one of us is a vessel. And each and every one of us is filled with something. Some are filled with the Holy Spirit. Some are filled with joy. Some are filled with anger. Some are filled with deceit. Some are full of a word that I can't say in church and get away with it, okay? You know what I'm talking about, though. We're all filled with something, but when we come to the baptismal waters and we hear the promise that we are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that we have been claimed by God, that He makes us one of His children. And when He does that, He fills us up with rivers of living water. And He calls us a new creation. He calls us good. It's just tap water, but it's good. It's good stuff. But even after we experience the waters of baptism, even after we experience this life-changing event where rivers of living water are poured into us, our circumstances don't change. Our world doesn't change. And because our circumstances and our world doesn't change, that means that we are still prone to do things that aren't right. We're still prone to be filled with things that don't belong in our life. You know, some of us are prone to be filled with bitterness from certain events in our life, filled with bitterness, like lemon juice. Maybe some of you are pretty bitter. Some of us are prone to be filled with self-righteousness, right? Self-righteousness looks like water. It looks good, right? But it stinks. Self-righteousness stinks. And as Christians, we have a problem with self-righteousness, don't we? Maybe some of you are prone to anger. You're prone to harbor up hatred and anger in your hearts, and you're just a little firecracker in your life, like hot sauce. Let's add that to the mix. This is disgusting. Ugh. It's kind of disgusting, right? And maybe some of us are prone to be filled with things that don't belong in our life, like an alcohol addiction or drugs or whatever else. Now, I'm not saying that alcohol is bad, but when you use it to replace something in your life, when you use it to fill your life up with happiness, it can easily become your God. And then there's all the other stuff in our life that we become filled with, all the stuff that we don't want people to see, all the adultery, the pornography, the lustful thoughts, all the darkness. And there you are. Go out and make disciples. Go bananas. Filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And there's a lot of us who spend our lives and we look in the mirror and this is what we see, just a bunch of murky water. No one wants to drink this. I made a concoction like this when I was 6 years old at a Mexican restaurant. Put some tortilla chips in there. It's disgusting. You don't want to drink this. I can barely stand to smell it. But this is what people see in Christians, right? We claim to be a holy people, and yet this is what we often look like right here. This is what we look like. Our lives are filled with envy, deceit, bitterness, hatred, lustful thoughts, things that we're hiding from people, things that we think that we're hiding from God, that we're not hiding anything. And this is what we look like. And people spend their lives as Christians looking in the mirror and seeing this, and somebody along the way tells them, well, you need to work on fixing yourself, as though that works. And so then the Bible becomes this divine self-help book, and Jesus becomes a crutch throughout your life as you're trying to fix yourself. And I don't know if you've tried this, I have, but as I try to fix myself, I become more and more and more aware that there is nothing that I can do in my life to fix myself, that something has to come in from the outside and help fix me, because naturally I am a person who's prone to anger. And naturally I'm a person who is prone to an addictive personality. My grandpa was an alcoholic. My dad was a drug addict. My mom smoked cigarettes throughout her life. Okay, that's small, but that's still an addiction. I am filled with bitterness from people in my life. And I'm filled with darkness that I don't want anyone to tell anyone about. And you're in the exact same situation I am. And so we look at ourselves in the mirror and we think, where's the hope? How on earth can this vessel, which was once filled with living water, which was once filled with grace and mercy and love, ever be transformed back to the way God meant it to be? There's nothing that this water can do in and of itself to change itself. And if this is what we're left with, if we attach ourselves to a theology that says we need to help ourselves before God will help us, we are going to be sadly disappointed at the outcome. But that's not what Jesus promises. He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. See, it's for people exactly like this that Christ came. People who are filled with murky water. People who are definitely not vessels that contain anything you want to drink. And he comes into our world and he says to us, I want to bear all of your sin, all of your struggles, all of your hardships, and I'm going to take them to the cross. And I'm going to die for them so that you may know how much I love you and how committed I am to you. That's pretty awesome, right? And so we come, one of the ways that Jesus does that is through the waters of holy baptism. Okay, Acts 2 says that this promise is for you and your children, the promise of everlasting life that comes through those waters, and yet so often we walk away from that. And I can't tell you how many people say, you know, I don't need church. I can be a Christian without going to church. And you've heard the phrase like, going to church makes you no more of a Christian than standing in a garage makes you a car. Well, I'll tell you what, if you stand in a garage long enough, you'll start to figure out cars a little better. Same condition with Christianity. We can't say that we love Jesus and hate the church because Jesus loves the church, and our standards cannot be higher than Jesus' standards. Jesus loves the church. This is a place where he's promised to be present, where he's promised to give us our gifts. He's made promises in the waters of baptism, promises in the body and blood of Jesus that he gives to us, promises to be with us as we're with one another. We cannot be filled with streams of living water apart from the promises that God has given. And when we cling to those promises, our life starts to change. See, when you start to remember your baptism and you start to wash your face in the morning and remind yourself that Christ washed away your sins, then things start to change. When you start coming to communion, receiving the life-giving body and blood of Jesus Christ, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you start being together in communities with one another and directing one another in truth and in love, then you receive the Holy Spirit, you are filled with blessing. When you start to realize that there is nothing in you naturally that is lovable, But God has claimed you as his own, and God has promised to love you in spite of who you are because of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that's all you need in life. You don't need to get better on your own. There's no list of good works that you need to do to get to heaven. It's purely by the grace of God. When you start to realize that, you're filled with the Holy Spirit more and more and more and more and more. Delicious. Thought it still would contain vinegar. It doesn't. This is who Jesus wants us to be right here, okay? A vessel filled with living water solely by his work, not by ours. This is what Jesus wants. This is what he does for each and every one of us. I know you're trying to follow me with a camera. Jesus fills us up. With streams of living water. That's what Jesus does. And it all comes back to remembering our baptism. That's what it all comes back to. See, there's this beautiful thing that when you start to commit to coming to church, when you splash your face in the morning and you realize that in these waters, Jesus has claimed you as your own. When you take the body and blood of Christ, which he says, this is my body, this is my blood. If you did not eat my body and drink my blood, then there is no life in you. You realize that this is something that you need, that you have to have. You need other people in your life, in small group communities or whatever else, speaking truth to you. Because you're not going to make the right choices on your own. Am I right? You know that's true. See, when we're transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with what God has to offer, our life changes. And suddenly, we don't want to gossip anymore. Not because we're not prone to it. Of course, we like to, you know, we like a good story and we like to, you know, chatter like little chickens in the back of the church, okay? But we don't because we know that it's hurtful to the body of Christ and then it has the power to tear people apart. And even though we are prone to have these lustful passions in our life, we decide, okay, I'm not going to look at porn because it is not honoring to God. It's not honoring to the women or men, and it's not honoring to me and my life. And I'm not going to lie to my parents because that's not what God has called me to do. And I'm not going to cheat because I am made for more. See, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you become filled with something completely outside of you. But I can guarantee throughout your life that even when you're filled with living water, you're still going to murky it up again, okay? That's why you need to be constantly poured into. You need to constantly be filled with what God has to offer you. And it's a free gift. What you start to realize, though, as you're poured into, as you're filled more and more, is that you have an overflow, right? Well, nobody wants that nasty overflow that is this disgustingness right here. Hot sauce, coffee, beer, lemon juice, and vinegar. It's a disgusting cocktail. No one wants that. But we all need living water. I want you to think right now, because I can think of people in my own life, who is it in your life that needs the overflow of love and grace and mercy right now? Who is it? Is it your spouse? Is it your kid? Is it your parents? Is it that person at work that's just driving you nuts to ever overflow and pour love into them? We first need to be filled with the love of Jesus Christ, and we are. We are, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with exactly what we need, which is streams of living water. Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.